Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to look back today in the principles of prosperity. And we want to look at some things here. I'm going to go in probably a little bit different direction. I'd planned on studying some things, but I've been doing a lot of praying. Do more praying than I do study. Really, I study things, but I spend a lot of time in prayer because, you know, you don't want to just get out of it. You know, you can sit, you know, and this is one thing, and lots of times, you know, God may at times reveal us things. We, you know, do our general Bible reading and stuff like that. God may reveal you some things. But, you know, you need to pray to find out what God's talking to you about. The Bible's full of wonderful good things, but what's God really talking to you about? You need to know that. What's God saying to you? Well, I want to know what God wants me to say up here on Sunday morning. I want to know what He wants me to... You know, I can think of a lot of things to say, a lot of things to talk. It'd be good. But what does God want to say? What is He? So, you know, you got to sort of get over there and find out. And and He changed some things this morning. I spent a lot of time in prayer last night. But I know lots of times in the morning when I get up, I don't know, just in the morning time, it seems sometimes I'm just more clear in the morning about, you know, because I'm not, you know, you don't... Through the nights, you're not as active in the morning. You get up, your brain's not going a mile a minute and that stuff. It should have slowed down. If your brain in the morning's going to town, there's something wrong. It shouldn't be. Some people do, but it shouldn't be. And lots of times you just catch a little bit more. There's certain things that I sensed when I was praying about yesterday that He wanted to do, and I just got some clarification on it, so we're going to do head in those directions. But I do want to remind us, so last week we talked about the principle of faithfulness, and I just want to reiterate concerning that because of its great importance about faithfulness, and really it's a principle that God established, and we read a scripture, and I'm just going to read these scriptures to you from Luke the 16th chapter that we used last week. And concerning, because when we deal with the area, the subject of prosperity, and understand this, we're not just talking about money, but yet we are talking about money, but not just about money. It's not enough to just prosper. You can go out here and follow some good business principles and gain money, but that don't mean you're going to be a prosperous person. You may have money, but you may have a lot of messed up life and a lot of other things. You know, you may have a big bank account laying in the hospital facing something that's, you know, there's like somebody facing something that's going to be on you for the rest of your life if you can't get in faith to get it off of you because the doctors can't fix it, and you'll spend all your money trying to fix it. So there's a lot of people like that. There's a lot of people today who've ended up poor over sickness and disease. Happens all the time. And people save up money, and they're saving their money, but they haven't developed spiritually. You need to develop spiritually. If you don't develop spiritually, it's going to cost you. It will. It will cost you. But isn't that God is out trying to get you? It isn't God. It's allowing the door open to the devil to come and do his work. And so spiritually, you want to develop. Spiritually, you want to learn to know where to walk. And in verse 10 of chapter 16 of Luke, it says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is also is unjust in also in much." In other words, God tests people with a little bit of what they're going to do. There's, you know, certain things about spiritual development that you're just not going to jump over. You know, some people want to come into the kingdom and they just want to, you know, I want to go from A to N tomorrow. You know, I want to end up there. Well, it doesn't happen. In other words, God's going to test you out. Now, we're going to find out here he's talking about money. But he's talking about faithfulness here in this first verse in general, because he says if you're unjust with something and a little bit, you're going to be unjust with a lot. And you need to, you know, this is a principle of wisdom of the kingdom. And if you're going to succeed, here's one of the things that I've watched this happen. I've watched it in Christianity. I've watched it in business. I've watched Christians make terrible mistakes because somebody is doing things wrong, but they're offering something good and something that people overlook where they're not operating right over here and say, well, but they're good over here. We can just go over here and do it. You know, I watched the thing. The Lord showed me as a baby Christian. He showed me concerning, because just on this kind of a principle. I remember the PTL was big ministry, and I remember it going on. But I started to watch what things were happening and where things were not being done right. And I said this as a young Christian. I said, that ministry ain't going to stand. Oh, and I watch Christians come along and they turn around and, well, yeah, and I'd say to them, don't you see what they're doing with this and that? And they'd say, yeah, but they're doing, look at all this other good stuff they're doing. See, if I do good, and here's a lot of Christians' lives, a lot of Christians live like this. I do more good things than bad things, I'm okay. I'll tell you what, you might be good to get the box ready because you might be put in it. That kind of thinking is what the devil loves when Christians have. I got this stuff over here where I'm not walking right, but I got this stuff over here that's good. This outweighs. That ain't how it works, folks. That ain't the kingdom. You don't get into heaven based on your good works. God, Jesus got to sit there, okay, you know, because they always tell the jokes about going to heaven. And what do? They look in the book, see who did, how much good you did and how much bad. That is basic Christian theology. That's basic Spirit-filled people's theology. It's not Bible theology, though. It's not Bible. He went on to say, therefore, or because of this principle. Now, understand what he's saying. The word therefore means because of this. What he just spoke and said. If you have a little bit and you don't do right with it, you know, you're going to be unjust with a lot. And if you don't do right, if you're unjust about a little bit, you're going to be unjust with a lot if you get it. He said, because of this principle. In other words, this is a principle in the earth. This is a principle God goes by. That's a principle God follows. If you don't do right with a little bit, you're not going to do right with a lot. Hallelujah. You know, God's turning up the power today, but I want you to understand this. He's not turning up to the power to the people who haven't walked right concerning the little bit of power that they have. I want you to know that. They will not operate in big power. Well, what's the Bible say? This principle, it stands for everything. It don't stand over here on, I give my money, but the rest I'm unfaithful over here. No, this principle stands in everything of doing what's right. See, the people who don't seek God and don't go after God and want to move a God, they'll have it and like it. They want to have it, but I'm not going to take the time for it. They ain't going to flow in it. Haven't been faithful with a little bit. God ain't going to turn it on to you. See, so we need to understand, just like we talk about this principle, we know if the church seeks God, then God will move. Why? If you're faithful for what you got, you start using, praying, standing in the authority you have, God will do something for you. See, this principle stands. It's across the board in everything. And we need to know that. We have the authority, whatever we bind or whatever we loose. It's not whatever God looses, it's whatever we loose and we bind. We stand and do right with what we got, God will do more for us. He'll do things. And so we want to walk and live in that principle. He says, therefore, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, it's talking about money. Mammon's money. It's money and possessions. Deals also with possessions. Money and possession. In other words, he says here, therefore he says, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches? So in other words, we're finding again this principle that's being used here. In other words, it's how we deal with what we got determines whether we get more. And now when he's talking about true riches, we want to understand this. I believe this isn't talking about just getting more bucks. Also, although it would bring it to you, because really it's dealing with revelation. Number one, understand this. You cannot operate in the kingdom of God or believe God without revelation from God. You can't believe God for healing without revelation on healing. You can't believe God for, you ain't going to believe God for $1 million if you only have a revelation of a $10 revelation of God. You need to understand this. See, I found this out a long time ago when I was a young Christian. See, God would reveal me. Today, I stand totally different than I was believing when I started off. I found this out. Most people do not have a divine health. Revelation. They don't have it. Most Christians don't. They don't know what it means to walk in divine health. They have no clue what it's about. They don't have a revelation. And why? It's because mostly, I'm just telling you this, and you need to understand, they don't walk faithful in the revelations they already have, so they don't get true riches. Nobody's going to come up and walk in divine health who is not trustworthy with the revelation that they have. You have to become trustworthy or walk in the light that you got. If you walk in the light that you have, then God gives you more. God will not give you more revelation. If He does, He's defying His own principle. He has become a liar, and then that makes this scriptures are not valid. He doesn't do it. See, I don't care if you sit in a meeting where they're given teaching on divine health. That doesn't mean the Holy Spirit will let you see what's said. I know people say, I've had this happen thousands of times. People sit in meetings, something's taught, and you know what? They don't get it all. Why? Because they're not faithful with what they got. God does not give them more. You don't get revelation just because you read the Bible. Like Brother Hagin used to tell us this. He said, if you find yourself, you don't get revelation in God, you find out where you quit obeying God at and go back to that place and start obeying. Or he said, if you don't, you won't get more light. Woo! Good preaching! See, this is what happens to people. People are trying to go beyond where they're faithful. Trying to go beyond that. You don't want to do that. So he's talking about money, so in other words, there's true riches. Dealing with true riches, in other words, our handling of money and possession determines how much revelation we get from God. money and possessions. Because he goes on and tells us here, he says, and if you have not been faithful, what is another man's who will give your own? And he says, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. So no people. If people over here serving God and money, they ain't going to get true riches from God. They're over there and let their wallet determine what they do or how they are and generous to God. They let their wallet determine that. They're not going to get revelation from God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was always glad that I, you know, came up under Kenneth Hagin's ministry because, you know, I was just taught as a giver. It's just taught, not just in money, but I was taught as a giver in life. You give, you know, you bless, you give. You have a lifestyle of giving. You take on that lifestyle. You don't cling to things. You don't hold tightly on to stuff. That you'll get yourself in a position where you will willingly give and things. That there, you know, it makes, from a revelation standpoint, I have never lacked from revelation in the Word of God. Never lacked in revelation from the Word of God. Stuff that God's revealed to me, even from the time I was a young Christian. I received revelations from God that I was not taught, that I know people that were in the ministry, and even Kenneth Hagin, things God revealed to me that I never heard him to teach to later years. Man, he was years and years in the ministry before he ever got that revelation. I was a baby Christian and got it. And what it came from, it wasn't what I was a rocket scientist. All I was doing is acting in line with what I had. Acting in line with what I had, and God started revealing stuff to me. And so you want to do that. Hallelujah. You want to follow that principle. I want to go over, because we want to look at today another area. And I want to turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. And this is what the Holy Ghost began to talk to me, because I was going to use one verse out of here and it just kept coming up in me. That isn't, he wanted to do something else. One of the things that I, you know, really have to learn more and more, I like the teaching gift, and I really enjoy operating under the teaching anointing, and I sometimes don't operate like I should, really teaching by inspiration under the prophetic anointing. I have a tendency to yield over to the teaching anointing more. And that's not always, well, as the Lord's been dealing with me about that, he talked to me about that last night. And then this morning about going over and just getting more over into the prophetic side, because it has a lot less to do with notes. But don't laugh. Everybody likes to have a plan in front of them. But I'll tell you what, it does limit us with God, because, you know, people who are so structured never move anywhere spiritually very much. I don't believe in not having structure, but people get too structured. In America, we're too structured. We're so stiff when it comes to structure. I mean, I watch people confess the word till they died and didn't get healed because they were well, the Bible says this, and they didn't know the spirit of the thing and they weren't following it. See, this is not some kind of mechanical thing that we're doing, folks. This ain't mechanics. There's the Word and the Spirit. You can be right on in the Word and far off on the Spirit. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You need to know that. Hallelujah. You know, we want them both working together. It's good to have them both operating. That's one of the things that Smith Wigglesworth prophesied before he went home to be with the Lord back in, I think he was 49 when he died, somewhere around there, 48 or 49 that he died. And he prophesied and said about there was going to, in the last day, there'd be a great move of God. It was going to be a move of the Word and the Spirit. It was going to be the Word and the Spirit. Kenneth Hagin prophesied along those lines, the same thing. As Randall Greer has followed that, God told him to follow that concerning those prophecies. And that's why he has the Word and Spirit meetings. That's why he has those. Because this is what God's doing. He's moving together the Word and the Spirit. Because we've had over and aside, there has before was extremes in the areas of the Spirit. That's how we got off on all that nuttiness and intercession. There was true intercession. But a lot of the groups got way off in left field, got out there and space, left the Word, got out there, it's what they called the Spirit. Yes, they were following spirits. And they got into all kind of nuttiness and crazy stuff. And that's what led to the church moving away from a lot of its stuff, because people got into left field on that stuff. In the 90s, they were doing all that nutty stuff. And so what happened? We entered and the church turned around and, oh no, now we, you know, they got over here. The God has, I just heard a good minister friend of mine told me, a major minister here in the United States, huge church. This guy walked with God, man. He anointed gifts of the Spirit. But he got over and said now that God told him that if we're going to reach this generation, we got to reach them on their terms and that stuff. And, you know, so he's converted his church over to 20-minute sermons and, you know, they don't have any more. He used to operate in gifts of the Spirit, speaking tongues, interpretation. He had huge crowds with that, but that ain't enough. See, it's more important to get crowds. We got to have crowds. So I can get bigger crowds if I don't do this stuff. God told him not to do it. And this guy got it firsthand from a guy who worked in his ministry who left because of this stuff going on. He said, what I did, he said, I stayed in that ministry till I found myself, he said, I didn't walk with God no more. He said, I found myself living a pretty sloppy Christian life. And he said, I decided I'm getting out of here and getting myself straightened out. And he left the ministry, getting himself straightened out. Isn't that a shame? You got to leave a church. Guy calls himself Spirit-filled, the pastor. You got to leave his church to get your life corrected. Well, let me tell you, there's millions and millions of Christians sitting in those kinds of Spirit-filled churches. They need to leave if you want to get your life corrected. Because it ain't nothing but trash coming over the pulpits out of their books. Nothing but trash. And if you're eating the trash, don't be surprised, it shows up. The trash will show up in your life. That's what he found out. Trash started showing up in his life. He wasn't living right. Now, we want to look at a principle here in Romans, the 8th chapter. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And I just want to say this. In the original Greek text, and really the oldest text that they have in Greek, the last part of that scripture is not actually in the Greek. But now understand this. It is a correct statement, because we'll find out that later on, here a few verses down, it talks about it. It uses this same. And I believe that probably they were just trying to clarify what he's talking about here. So, it isn't wrong in what's said. It's not wrong. Now, there are a lot of the translations, they put it in, but the original Greek, I've looked it up on a number of different things, and it don't have it in the original Greek. So it says, therefore, there's no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. But it says this, and this is a true statement, who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And that's a true thing. There's no condemnation. That's why when these people teach and preach and say you don't have to repent, right there, that scripture throws that one out. You're going to live in condemnation if you don't. If you're in condemnation, your faith won't work. You can't walk condemned toward God and trust Him take care of you. You can't be in condemnation. You ain't living right. Dear Lord. I mean, that'd be stupid. He said you can't do that. Now, he makes this statement. Listen to this. Verse 2. And this is what I want to get. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law in sin and death. In other words, there's a law. Now, understand it. A law. See, Christians get all worked up when they hear the term law. But we need to understand this when we deal with the words law. Law could mean a rule, or we could say, you know, whatever makes people happy, a principle or, you know, a regulation or something. But we need to understand this. The kingdom of God is not a lawless kingdom. It's not a ruleless kingdom. It's not a kingdom that don't have regulations. It's not a kingdom that isn't founded upon principles. It is. And the idea is people look at law as in a negative way. Understand, the Bible says this concerning the law of Moses. If it wouldn't have been for the law, man wouldn't have known what sin was. In other words, you wouldn't know what you're doing wrong. You wouldn't know things that you're doing wrong if it wouldn't have been for the law that was given. So the law was a good thing. It wasn't a bad thing. The bad thing it was for man concerning the law is man couldn't keep it because of his unregenerated state. You need to understand this. You got born again so you can keep the law. It isn't you got born again so you can ignore the law. You didn't get born again so I can live like hell, don't have to worry about it, and we're going to all get to heaven. No, we're not. There's loads of people. Jesus said this himself. He said they're going to come to him and say, Lord, Lord, I've done all this for you. I've done this in your name. I've done all these things. And he's going to go away from me. I never knew you. See, amen. That don't get preached in the grace messages. We tear those pages out of the Bible because they don't fit the grace today. Kenneth Hagin in 1950 had a vision and Jesus Christ told him this. He said, many of my people, many, he said, are not ready for my return. They're not ready. Well, what does it mean, not ready? If just because you're saved, you're gone, then you're ready. How old? If you're just going to leave just because you made a confession of Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, people ain't going to be living like hell and going. I'm just telling you that. And I tell you what, it ain't going to be pretty. Because once the church leaves, to believe means death for you. I figure get right now. I figure, let's get over on this getting right. See, a lot of this sloppy grace preaching is getting a lot of people ready for the tribulation because they're going to be in it. And I'll tell you, in the tribulation, it won't be, Lord, I'm going to take the mark, but you know in my heart, I love you. That's what's the sloppy grace. And these sloppy grace preachers are getting people ready for. If there's not a move of God and these people aren't removed, I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of people heading for doom. I'll tell you, God hates the stuff that they're doing. God hates this stuff. Because it's evil and it's wicked. It's leaving people out living in sin. God wants people restored. God wants people blessed. And they're setting people up with, you know, using, you know, it's like going out to Halloween and getting your bag of candy. You know, we go around and you go to these preachers and they just throw their little candy in your bag. Yeah, but that's all you got's candy. No, God ain't just throwing candy out. God shows that there's rules, there's regulations, there are things we have to know. There's things we must do to prosper. And to prosper, we need to fall in line with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You need to understand this. We need to fall in line with that law. We were born again under that law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the law that that's the law that you and I got born again under. God did what He did through Christ Jesus under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That law saves man, redeems man. That's that law. That law set you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Under that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the rule under this kingdom. That you and I are seated in heavenly places, blessed with all spiritual blessing. Everything that God has provided is under that law of the Spirit of life. But understand, it's a law, it's a rule, it's a way that heaven is governed, the way heaven operates in. The regulations are under that rule and law. And so you follow in line with it. If you want to be blessed, it's not enough. You can get born again and not live a blessed life. You get born again and not have much work out for you if you don't fall in line with the law, because Christ redeemed us. He redeemed us from spiritual death. But it says the law of the Spirit of the life that's in Christ Jesus made me free. What? I am free from what? The law of sin and death. There's a law of sin and death. The law of sin and death, we go over, he's talking, and well, let's just read it. The next verse says, 3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Listen to this. Christ condemns sin in the flesh. That's why when a Christian sins, they must repent. Because Christ has condemned sin in the flesh. That's why when a Christian sins, they get into condemnation. because Christ himself condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned it. Now, through you and I receiving Christ, we are under this new law, the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. That's the law, in other words, that's the law that you and I are to live under. The reason we want to live under that, verse 4 says that, why? Why do you want to live under this law? Jesus condemned sin in the flesh for this purpose, so that Christians could live a sinful life and get away with it. Huh. Isn't that in your Bible? Oh, well, it's in some of these guys' Bible. Yeah. It's in some of them's Bible. He said, what? This is why. This is why. This is what the Spirit, if you follow the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it'll lead you to this, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You were not saved to live like hell. You were not saved so you could go sin and don't have to repent and just go on and do it. See, anybody preaches that. See, that's not that. You can't prosper living like that. Now, the guys that preach this stuff, they seem like they're prospering. Why? Because all these morons and idiots that want to live a sinful life keep buying their books and sending them their money. And they send these guys their money, and they're keeping these guys in their sin rich. Because number one, when he told you, you didn't have to repent of sin, remember this, he's sinning and not repenting either. And I will guarantee you, he's sinning worse than you think. If he started preaching this stuff, it's because he's into dirt up to his neck. He preaches that because it makes him happy so he can keep sinning. Woo! Good preaching anyhow. That's not what we're like. We came under the law of the Spirit of life. Why? So we can begin to live a righteous life, not so we can live an unrighteous life. Folks, this is about prosperity. You must stay under the law of the Spirit of life. You can't live in the flesh and have what the law of the Spirit of life has given to us. That doesn't mean we don't miss the mark. We may miss the mark that, you know, we sin. But I'm talking the idea of people, you can practice sin. You cannot. The practice of the sin can't go on. You can't have a sin practice life. You can't do that. He's telling us here. It's this purpose. So the righteous requirements of the law would be fulfilled in us. If the righteous, look what the law stated. If the under the law, we would go back. I'm not going to read Deuteronomy. Go back and read what Deuteronomy says would happen to you if you could keep the law. Look at Deuteronomy 28. Look at those blessings down through there. You talk about prosperity, that's prosperity there. Everything, anything your hand touches, anything that's yours is blessed. See, the righteousness is not something I've just become because of faith. I am righteous by faith, but God expects me to live a righteous life also. That is expected. The confession of sin cleanses you from unrighteousness. We know they said, these guys tell you that stuff was written for the sinner. If it was written for the sinner, that's the stupidest thing in the world. Why would a sinner want to be cleansed from unrighteousness? He ain't righteous. He can sin. He has no righteousness anyhow, so it don't matter. The blood can't cleanse him from unrighteousness. The blood ain't going to cleanse him from repenting of sin. He has to get born again before the blood would do him any good. Dear Lord, I mean, they got the nuttiest doctrine. I mean, these guys, you got to get crazy to believe them doctrines. It shows one thing, the people who do believe it don't know the Bible. They know nothing about the Bible. They got their own little weird ideas that are ringing up there in their heads. This was given to us so you and I can live. Why? You and I can fulfill the righteousness of the law. I'm going to show. We'll talk about how it's being fulfilled in us. Why? We want to live under this principle of the Spirit of life. You want to live under this principle of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. That's where you want to live. That, if you want to prosper, and I'm talking about prosper, just not money, but prosper in health and everything. Deuteronomy, go over and read it. Deals with health, Deuteronomy 20, everything. Why? So in other words, Jesus Christ fulfills the law for us. So we can live under this new law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So you and I can fulfill and walk in righteousness, and you and I can have all the blessing was under the law that those guys could never make work, yet God wanted to do it. All the blessing, and people say, oh, that was God's blessing to Israel. No, it wasn't. It was God's blessing to the church. It was always God's blessing to the church because it was always meant for the seed of Abraham, who is the church. Poor guys can't read the Bible. My God, I sit around sometimes, read the Bible, and think I don't know nothing. And I feel so sorry for some of these preachers because, my God, they don't even know as much as most of you guys know. You could probably teach them a lot. Dear Lord, they stand in front of huge congregations, dumb as a stick. How shameful. Hallelujah. But it was for us. The blessing was for us. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law so you could have the blessing. The law showed us what God was like, what He wanted us to do, and it showed us what He wanted to give us. And these poor people, well, it's just for Israel. Oh, you think the church is just a dirt bag? My God, poor Christians, my words. So you and I, God wants us, why? He has the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That law gives you the ability to not only be righteous by faith, it gives you the ability to walk righteous. It gives you that ability. Why? So you can have the blessing that God said concerning starting with Abraham. The whole thing down to where the law came along and God showed all He wanted, how He wanted to bless Israel. All of that is included to the church, plus the new birth, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Dear Lord, we got the full package. We saw types and shadows of the package, but the church are the people with the package. The church is the people who got the package. Israel never had the full package. Abraham never had the full package. We are the people. And when we got born again, when the fulfillment of Abraham's blessing came down, the Bible tells us it was the promise of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The baptism of the Holy Ghost was the climax of all that God wanted to do for the church. And the church has stopped with a new birth. Poor dummies. It don't stop with the new birth. It stopped with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All of it was done for this, is you and I can receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah! You and I got the whole package that God laid down from the beginning when He started teaching man. We go back to the beginning of the Bible and you follow it through. All those revelations and all that thing He did, they all climax in the church and the church gets it all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Last I heard, you're the church. That's the last I got out of the book. You're the church. Hallelujah. That's who you are. And it's for you. I'm going to tell you, if Israel got a good promise, go back and read it and say, God, I want it even better than they got it. And you'll get it. Hallelujah. Because the whole package is fulfilled into the church age. Abraham never had the promises that the church had. Under the law, no, Moses never did. Nobody, whatever God had ever said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It had never been said. It never had been said that you can cast out devils. It had never been said. That's to the church. Hallelujah. All authorities must bow to the church. Why? Because Jesus, all authority in heaven and earth, who's it under? Jesus! And who are we? We're the church. It's all for the church. It's all for the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are, sound like we're the glorious church, don't it? Don't sound like we're going to be the glorious church. It don't sound like someday in the sweet by and by, someday we'll get to be what God wants us to be. No, God has offered the whole thing, the whole package, right now. Everything is offered. He goes on, so he says here, for those what who live according to the flesh set their mind, what? Their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to what? The Spirit, or the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The ones who live under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that group, they set what? Their mind on the things of the Spirit. You need to understand, God's prosperity is being spiritually minded, not earthly minded. Or fleshly minded, whatever you want to call it. is not earthly. If you want to succeed in God's way, in other words, if you want to arrive at the place, and this is one of the things, see, I want to arrive at the place where I can handle money properly, and that is by developing spiritually. If you don't develop spiritually and you get a lot of money, you're going to be like one of those people that win the lottery, and you'll get it and you'll blow it, and then you'll be turning around looking for somebody to bail you out. You'll do dumb things with it. You'll spend it on wrong stuff. You'll spend it to fulfill the lust of your flesh. And if you do give money away, you'll give it to the wrong people. That's right. They do it all the time. You get carnal people money, and you know who they are? They'll go around giving the guy who's the laziest one in the crowd, ain't going to do nothing. And I feel sorry for him handing the money. Biggest idiots in the bunch. The guy who really needs it, God would tell him, you know, it's like in the church world today. I mean, with most Christians, the most born-again Christians, if God asked somebody to send a millionaire a check, they'd say, well, that couldn't be God. That's a devil for sure. He'd only tell me to send money to some guy who's poor. That's why God can't bless a lot of people, because they don't walk in the Spirit, they walk in the flesh. I've heard people say they didn't give certain ministries money because they have a lot of money. That is their determination in giving. You'd like to just take them out and slap them, just to wake them up. I mean, we're not going to kill them, but just to wake them up. Say, my God, did you ever listen to your voice, you moron? You determine. I found that it's good if Ed don't determine so much. Ed does better if he spends more time praying and trying to see what God wants to do than he does, you know, what he thinks he ought to do. But see, we want to stay over in the area of the Spirit to find out. Because sometimes God will have you want you to give money to somebody, and you want to listen. You want to obey God. Do you want to prosper? You're going to prosper with God. Let me tell you, you just need to understand this. If you're giving money the way that you want to give money, you can sit and confess money in all you want. You can say all you want. It ain't coming. We can't let God sit on the sideline and I'm going to determine what I'm going to do with my money. I'm going to determine that. I'll tell you what, you better learn to get over in the Spirit. If you don't, that's why a lot of things don't work for people. Because people don't pay attention. They don't follow what God tells them to do. You know, people get over, you know, with the tithe, they do whatever they want with it. They do whatever. Either they want to give it or don't want to give it or whatever they want to do. They do all their stuff. And then they wonder why things are. They're sitting there confessing for money. Their health goes on them and everything else. Because I'm going to tell you, your money's tied a lot to your health. I found this many times. It's hard for God to get people healed if He can't get in their pocket. They have, well, you know, I tithe. Well, that's good. God has a voice for other than that. Tithing is obeying the least. Tithing is obeying the least. Tithing is obeying the least. That's the least of what God expects. That's the least. I mean, don't blow no trumpet because you tithe. I'm serious. Don't blow no trumpet because you tithe. I learned that a long time ago. I don't know how I figured this stuff out when I was a baby Christian, but it just seemed like I understood some of this stuff. But I'm just amazed at people today. I mean, I listen to people teach on tithing, and you'd think that they're giving the moon away. You know, that they're, oh, this is the big... And you get, well, they use Deuteronomy, and they jump over in Deuteronomy. But they don't... It says tithes and offerings. Somehow they just happen to miss that one. That offering part of it. No. No, we got, I tell you, the majority of Christians don't tithe. The majority of Christians don't give a tenth to God. So that's, you know, they don't do that. Now, but they want what God got. You know, when they get bills come due, God, send me something. You know, God, I want what you got. But we need to get over in the things where, in our giving, in our area, where we'll obey God. Hallelujah. Because if you want to step into something bigger, you're going to have to do something bigger. God is not, if we're not faithful with a little bit, well, I'll tell you, start being faithful over the areas of a little bit. Verse 6, for carnally minded is death, spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So we see this, the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, this spirit of life. What does it do? If you follow the Spirit of life, you will have life and peace. If you follow this principle, you will abound in this area. In other words, you'll prosper in life and in peace. You'll have peace. See, loads of people have life and but don't have peace. Randall Greer talked about this in a meeting. We're up in Owego. They went online. What's his name? Jobs, who died, Apple, you know? People talk about his wealth and that stuff. One of his guys who he started out with, who Jobs ended up, I guess, bought him out. You know, he's a real rich guy, but bought him out and that stuff with Apple. But he talked online about Jobs. And, you know, just from the standpoint of, you know, life and peace, the man had no peace. Guy's worth billions, but no peace. Guy runs a company and everybody, because, I mean, the church preaches about what he does as if it's some kind of great thing. He didn't do nothing. He followed the devil and made money. He got wisdom to do stuff and did it and used it to promote the world. Oh, I thought he was such a good guy. You know what that guy, this guy got on telly? He said, Jobs never believed he was going to live long. He said he believed that he was going to die earlier in his life, that's why he was so aggressive about doing something, because he knew that if he was going to achieve anything in life, he was going to have to do it early. And he said he used to talk about that all the time. He wasn't living under the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He's living under a spirit of death. He was living under a spirit of death, and he talked it and acted on it, because like he would never take vacations. He wouldn't go like holidays off or anything like that. Even one of the people working around him, they weren't supposed to be off on holidays and doing stuff. They had to work all the time. Why? Because he was a driven man. He was driven as he wanted to get himself a name. Well, he got himself a name, and he's dead in hell. Didn't that turn out nice? That turned out great. Oh, and we got all these wonderful products. And he's dead in hell. That worked out real good. But understand, money did not bring life and peace, did it? See, this is the whole thing. Is God's way is different than the world. People get rich in the world. You can get rich in the world. But you're not going to get rich in the world and have what the Bible says under the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. That law of the spirit of life. But why? Because it will bring you life and peace. That's what it brings you. See, that's why you want to take and begin to put on the mind of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. You want to start living that. You want to be a person who develops spiritually and grows up spiritually. This is what happens to people from an educational standpoint. One of the problems. See, years ago, people went to church and things, or kids were raised taken to church and things like that. There were spiritual principles put in people. And then they went off, and then you went to school. But you had some spiritual growth. Today it's not like that. We got the totally ungodly. The parents don't take the kids to church. The parents don't go to church. And then they stick them in an educational system. And they stick them in an educational system. And they're educated to become successes in the flesh. And that's why you have all the robbing, cheating, and stealing. That's why people come out of college, go into the business world, and figure out ways to steal and cheat and do things to make a ton of money, to rip other people off. That's why they do it. There is no spiritual development. There's no spiritual base in life. And if they do go to church, they go to some church that ain't got no spiritual in it. The pastor's not even a born-again Christian. They go in and get their regular social teaching and stuff like that. Be a nice person. Be a nice guy. Put a check every once in a while. The poor, God's impressed. That's what they get. And so what happens, they get educated. Man, it becomes an educational disaster, because they're sinners with the mind of the flesh and living under the law of the spirit of not life in Christ Jesus, but they're living under the law of sin and death. And it's going to produce out of that. So you can't stop that. The only thing that changes it is whatever law you're living under. If you develop under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you can go on to life and peace. But if you don't develop under that, money and things and possessions are going to drive you. The things in your life are going to turn around and dominate your life. They're going to do it. I mean, it's happening all the time out here. I watch Christians that don't develop. They get have a little money, you know, they get money-minded. They get over there, and after a while, they're just money-minded, you know, and things. Well, you know, God's blessing giving money. They only give money because they're thinking about getting money back. It's all they think about. They're thinking about, well, what am I going to get out of this? I'm not thinking about what I get out of it. I know I'm blessed. I get money by my faith, not by my giving. My giving is just an action of my faith. It's what I believe to begin with. I receive from God because I believe He gives it to me. You can put checks in, but if you don't know how to believe God, it don't do you any good. You're just like the world, a bad investment. It's a bad investment, folks. Because I want you to see this. It says, for the carnally minded, and we read that, but I want to read it again. For to be carnally minded is death, but to spiritually minded is life and peace. What? Because why the carnal mind or the fleshly mind is enmity, or the word, we could use the word enemy. Enemy is an enemy, what? Against God. See, I can be a Christian with a carnal mind and I'm opposing God. I'm opposing God. See, people don't see themselves there. I'm in opposition to God because of my carnal way of thinking. I'm not thinking like God thinks. I'm not thinking in line with the law of the Spirit of life. I'm thinking in line with death. I'm over here on the death law. That's the way I think. That is an opposition. Their mind becomes an enemy of God. That doesn't mean I'm thinking about I want to be an enemy of God. But my thinking opposes what God wants to do. My thinking will oppose Him. The enemy of God, for it is not subject, what? To the law of God, nor indeed can be. In other words, he said it isn't subject to the law of God. Do you know, we Christians have to have our minds subject to the law of God. See, there's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What the Bible tells us in our covenant here, your mind has to be subject to what this thing says. It needs to become subject to it. It needs to become subject in the areas of giving. It needs to become subject to allow God to do what He wants. See, many people, well, you know, they have their idea. Well, this is what I'll do with my life. This is what I'm, you know, they set it all up. This is how I'm going to give. This is what I'm going to do. You know, I have this nice little thing all figured out, you know. And, you know, I'm going to turn around and get married and have 1.2 children or something or, you know, whatever it is or whatever people do. And we're going to do that. And people set up their life like that. They set up their life for this nice little thing. And they're born again people really living under a curse. Now, God didn't curse them. They chose the life of death. They chose to follow the law of death rather than the law of life. They chose that. Why? Because, you know, this is what I'm going to do. Their mind is working in opposition to what God's doing. You know, to me, one of the most wonderful things was when me getting born again and got filled with the Holy Ghost and started to understand some of these principles was really the freedom that I wasn't afraid I was going to do without and I didn't have to hang on to stuff. That was a huge one for me. I don't know about you. I know most Christians, that's still a huge one for them today. They still can't get over. They're always afraid. You know, they'll look at their wallet. They'll have an unction in them to give money. Well, when I get some money, I'll give them. Their fear. That unction's in you to do it because God wants to get you some money. And He can't get it to you till you do it. He can't get it to you till you act in faith. Where you act in faith. He said, listen about these people. Verse 80 says this, and here's a thing that the Holy Spirit wants you to get. He spoke to me about this morning. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot please God. They can't do it. Those whose minds are set on the flesh, they cannot please God. Why can't they please God? Because they can't operate in faith. Remember over in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. A carnal mind is a mind lack of faith. It can't operate in faith. It can't please God because it can't trust Him. Faith is trusting God. A person cannot trust God. They can't do it. They trust their pocketbook. They trust this. They trust that. They're trusting stuff. They're trust. That's where their trust is. And if God prompts them in to do certain thing, they won't move it. They can't trust Him. Because why? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. See this whole thing. The law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus operates under one principle, really, that founds the whole thing. And it's the principle of faith. See, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus operates not at all. Sin and death's real easy. All you gotta do is be carnal and go live in the flesh. But it requires you to walk in faith, to walk in the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. How did you get into that law? You got into it through faith, through accepting Jesus. It wasn't, I got saved one day, now it all works. It is a continual walk of faith. It's continuing to walk by faith, developing faith, learning to trust God, learning to trust, you know, His Word. It's the law of the Spirit of life. Now, this law of the Spirit of life, the word life there is that word Zoe. And it really means the God kind of life. God, you talk about prosperity? The law of the Spirit of life is the God kind of life. Does God lack or want any good thing? Does God have it? It's the law of the Spirit of life. In fact, this word life is only used in the New Testament in connection with the life of God. When you read the words in the Bible, in the New Testament that says eternal life or, you know, any of those two, there, it's always using this word, Zoe. Eternal life is not something we will have one day. It's something that you have now. It's the principle. We live in eternal life right now. When you accepted Jesus, God's plan was for you to start living like you were eternally alive like God. That's what He expects. That's what He wants. He wants us. Is God blessed? Is God doing without? Is He lacking? No. God doesn't want His children to lack or want. That's why He blessed us, it says in Ephesians, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Because that's what's in the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. And it is responded to by faith. You respond to this law by faith. In other words, you believe it's true. You quit listening to the preachers that tell you, well, that was for Israel. You can keep listening to them, you're going to turn around and have a fleshly mind, and you're going to have trouble. Because that fleshly mind is going to lead you where you can't please God. And you're going to get yourself in a dilemma, and you're going to ask people to pray for you, you're going to have hands laid on you till it wears the hair off your head, and you're going to get nothing. I'm just telling you, it ain't going to work. Not until you renew your mind where you can respond to God by faith. It's one thing for a baby Christian to get blessed because they don't know any better. But man, people got to step up. The church is going to have to step up. It's becoming a very dangerous town for Christians in the earth. Ones who don't want, they just want to keep playing church. It's a dangerous day. Because a lot that God's mercy has been shown to them is going to come to an end. And they're going to have to deal with what they've done. We need to understand these things. See, we come to the place where we have to walk. People talk about trusting God. It's not enough to talk about these things. There's things that must be done. The law of the Spirit of life was said by Jesus Christ, really, in John 10:10. I mean, you people, we hear this, John 10:10. I mean, among Spirit-filled and faith people, we use this all the time, and it's wonderful scripture. But Jesus made this statement. He said, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's the law of sin and death. That's under Satan's kingdom. That's this world system. This world system operates under the law of sin and death. That's where its operation is. Under the law of sin and death. And under the law of sin and death, there is what? Is there any kind of blessing that he mentions there? Is there any kind of thing he says? The thief comes. The law of sin and death is a thief. That law exists only. What for? Only except. Except to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's what it does. That's its final end. Jobs did all he did, and what happens? What happens at the end? His life is robbed, and he ends up in hell. Is that what we want? Is that what we're after? See, that's the law. See, that's why you can't follow after the world system concerning prosperity. You can't follow the world system. A world system. But look what he said. Now here's what he said. I have come. Jesus said, this is the reason that I came. In other words, this is why I came. This is my purpose for being in the earth, is so you will have life. You know what word that is there? Zoe. So what? You can have God's kind of life. You can have God's kind of life. What? And that what? Now listen. He said, I want you to have God's kind of life. But then he goes on. Now if you'd have stopped and just said, look, I want you to have the God kind of life. Woo! We're going somewhere. Then he said this. And this God kind of life, I want you to have it more abundantly. The Greek word really, the King James and the New King James and different ones, they translate it terrible. Because they say abundantly. That sounds pretty good. That is not what that means. Actually the word means to superabundance, and it means excess. Overflow, it means surplus. Over and above, more than enough, profuse. Extraordinarily above the ordinary. More than sufficient. That's what it means. Now look, Jesus comes along. Look, the reason I came here is so you could come into the principle of life. You could step into this law of life. Why? Woo! So you can go far beyond, over and above. Hallelujah. Not just things of money and things, your whole life. How would you like to superabound in joy and peace? My God, as more people need more of that. I'm going to tell you what, if you can't abound in that area, you're going to always have faith problems. You're always going to have trust problems if you don't know how to abound in joy and peace. You've got to learn to get up on it, because I tell you, you can't operate in faith. You'll always have trouble in the faith walk. You want to superabound in these things. See, the principles of God, the things that are laid out under the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus is under this. This is where you start stepping into full prosperity. You want to come into the fullness. That's why when prosperity is only taught on the level of mostly with money and possession, that's a very low level. That's a very low level. Hallelujah. Because I found this out. Once I could step into these other areas and abound in these other areas, the things of money started coming easier. They just, you know, that started working so much better. But see, everybody, you get over the money, the money, the money. And I believe there's a lot of guys, I mean, I believe, there's men that are very good and women at preaching out here on faith concerning finances, but some of them, I think they do it just for the money. Because they don't ever lay down the principles to people, and they don't ever talk to people about things, about why they're not being blessed. The only reason they ever tell you that you're not being blessed is because you didn't give enough yet. They don't tell you that you got a dirty life. They don't look out there and say, you probably got a dirty life too, maybe. You got a dirty life. Maybe you're not living right. Maybe you're not walking right toward God. Maybe you're doing things you shouldn't be doing. You ain't repenting and turning. Maybe you're not growing up spiritually. No, they won't say that. No, it's always the reason. Always the reason. It's like ministers, they'll do this all the time. They never tell anybody that the reason that they're sick is because they're living wrong or doing wrong or something. No, it's always, you just need to believe God more and just trust God. And wow, they say those nice things because, wow, we don't want to deal with that other thing. They'll get upset. Might leave the church. There goes some money. Whoa, my God, we don't want to do that. Well, they're going to leave the church anyhow. You're going to bury them. Might as well tell them the truth. You might as well tell people the truth. So we want to walk in. You want to walk in the light of the truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah. I want to read you something here in James, and then we'll close here with this. In James, the first chapter, James says this, because this is a principle God wants you to get a hold of here in this thing that we're looking at. Really, we're dealing with the principles, the law, the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. James said this in James, the first chapter. James said, the first chapter of James, verse 25, he says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. What? The perfect law of liberty? That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the perfect law of liberty. It's a law. It's a law. If you don't like law, you don't like regulations, you're going to do terrible in the kingdom. Because we do not live in a lawless kingdom. You know? We don't live in one. God, I don't care what America does. America is not a picture of God's kingdom for sure. We're a lawless kingdom. We can pass all the laws we want, but we're a lawless kingdom.
Amen.
So, but he says there, you look at, he says, and continues what? Now, you look into the law, but what here it shows you about dealing with this, will you? And continues in it. In other words, you look into the law. In other words, you look there, you found something. Now, James said you got to do something concerning looking at this law of the Spirit of life of Christ Jesus. When you look into it and you see something, you're going to see something, he says you got to continue in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Or do what it says. See, it is not you can, this is where a lot of people mess up. And I have prayed and asked God to get this across to people's ears because this is where most people fail. This is the majority of failing today. They aren't acting on the word. They're not acting. Their voice, and one time they confess the word of God, then they're confessing whatever the doctor said, and I got to do this, and blah, blah, blah. They're talking that stuff. They're on both sides. They never have believed they received their healing because you never ever hear it out of their mouth. They have never said, I believe I received my healing. No, I'm still sick and I'm waiting for my healing. And they keep talking this junk. Now, folks, I'm not doing this to criticize. I am just telling you. You need to understand this. What you find in there, it says you got to continue in it and don't be a forgetful hearer. Do what it says. What? A doer of what you hear in the Word. What you hear, do it. It's not enough to confess it. You got to do what it says. If the Word tells you you're healed, get acting like it. Oh, yeah, but what if I miss my doctor's appointment? I don't know. Well, then you need the doctor. You better get there, but quit telling people you're in faith. There's nothing wrong with going to the doctor, but quit talking out of both sides of your mouth. If you can't stand in a place of faith, say so. You will never develop lying. You won't develop lying. Say what's... Look, I can't believe that. You get further with God in honesty than you will playing this faith game. And a lot of people play the faith game. You know, make it sound real good. But there's no faith in it. Faith brings results. Listen what James said. This one who does what I say, they've looked into the perfect law of liberty. They continue in it. They're not a forgetful hearer. They do it. This one will be blessed in what he does. In other words, what you believe shows up. What you believe shows up. What you believe shows up. This is the way it works. This is the law of the Spirit of life. This is how the law of the Spirit of life works. You look into the Word. Now that word look, if you look up what that word look means, it's a wonderful word that is not used. And really the word look here is not a good explanation. This Greek word here means to bend beside or to lean over, to peer into. It means to stoop down. It's talking about humbling yourself to the Word. This is why the Word doesn't work many times for people. They never humble themselves to it. They never declare, see, the Word's right and I'm going to do what it says. I want to just use an example for you. In the natural, you know, you could go out here and say, go to a business school. Like I've listened to a couple times a different, like say, Harvard Business School guys who were deans of the Harvard Business School. They had them on TV and had them on, listen to them talking about business principles. They got a lot of, these guys really talk some smart stuff. I mean, talking about business and doing things and talking about things don't work today. Talking about principles of business, and they know these things. But you need to understand, these guys operate a business, and you know what? There's things that you can do, and you can gain money, and you can do things, but you need to understand. And there's things that it would be smart even for a Christian businessman to listen to those things. But you can't buy all that they say, because the Harvard Business School dean is not going to say, you know, if God tells you to give 20% over here, or tells you to give $10,000 this guy, then you need to do that. He's not going to tell you that. That doesn't, see, the world, there's things in the world that there's wisdom in doing it that man has found out just about living this life. But that ain't the whole story. When we come over to our side, there are things that deal that are different, that aren't going to line up. It's like Randall Greer said, he mentioned about with his, if you have like, say, like a church doesn't have to handle some things like you do when you're traveling ministry, they're not under the same thing with the government. And they have to have you these accountants and that stuff and send in every year all their accounting stuff and knowing stuff and things like that of their ministries. They have to, you know, give account for this stuff. Randy said, I get these accountants, and they'll give me a call and say, well, you can't do this or that. You're not going to have money. And he said, you know, I used to always tell him, say, look, you work for me, I don't work for you. You do what I tell you to do. And he said, I've fired accountants already. I've fired them. He said, they just keep sticking their nose in my business. Well, a lot of Christians are sort of like that accountant. They keep determining what they can do and what they can't do. They won't submit themselves to the Word of God. They won't humble themselves to the Word and what the Word says and do it. If you want to have God's blessing, if you want to have, hey, that doesn't mean, it's like Brother Hagin says, you know, God don't, she said, Jesus never said or has not said in the New Testament that if you don't give, God was going to curse you or do something bad to you. He said, don't say that. He don't have to, you will. But understand this. The whole thing is that he didn't say he wouldn't. Kenneth Hagin, you say that God didn't say he was going to do something bad to you. But I want to tell you what, you're going to be limited. Because just like what has happened, you look at there. Look how many businesses that followed the good principles and things, but when the downturn came in the economy, they're out of business, just like lots of other ones went out of business. They followed the right principles, but they were only tied to man's thing. That's all they had. They can't go over and ask God. They can't go over and say, hey, God, I want you to get involved in my business. I want you to bless me over here. Why? Because they never humbled themselves. He's talking about when you humble yourself, when you look into the Bible, do you look in it just to find a nice little thing in Scripture that says you're all right? I said, many Christians do. You know, let's get the promise box Christians. I mean, there's loads of things that I preach at people they don't want to read. But you got to preach them. You got to drag them out because people won't look at them. You know, this. I'm just telling you. If people would truly read the Bible and study the Bible, I wouldn't have to preach as much stuff in those areas as I do. God wouldn't be telling me to talk about it. People would be doing it. They ain't doing it. People are the promise box Christians. That's what has been raised up in a lot of the Spirit-filled churches is promise box Christians. They're looking at the promises, but they don't look at their conduct. They're not looking at none of that stuff. And see, these are things that God is speaking to us about. He's talking to us about these things. Why? Because God wants you to have a blessed life. He wants you to humble yourself to the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. Why? He will bless you in what you do. He didn't say He would bless you in what you confessed. Hey, I believe in confession. You want to confess the right thing. I am not minimizing confession. But I'll tell you what, I'm like old James said, I'll show you my faith by what I do. I learned that as a baby Christian. God taught me what it was to act in faith. And I learned the principles of how to bring things to pass quickly, how to get healed quickly, how to not have to sit around and wait for 15 years to get it. I learned, and it's in your doing. I will tell you, there's some here, you're messing up and you're doing. You're not doing. You're going through the bit and through the motions of things, talking like it's faith, but it has never been complete till it's been done. My job is never complete in faith till I'm acting like what I said I believe is true, till I'm walking in it like it's true. If I'm still moved by what I see, I have not come. There's no way I can turn around and act like it's so if I'm still looking at what's going on in the natural. I got to live like what I got to begin to live like what I see out there is no longer mine. See, this is people are believing God, you know, for money. I'm believing God for money for this bill. The Bible never told you to believe God for money to pay your bill. He told you to believe you received it. And you should be saying, thank God I have the money to pay the bill instead of I'm waiting on God to send the money. No, I have the money. I believe I received it. See, you can't talk that other junk because that's not humbling yourself to the Word. That's not believing what the Word says. The Word said when I prayed, I was supposed to believe I received it. That's not humbling myself. What I'm doing is I'm looking like the world system does. I'm looking at the problem and confessing it. See, this thing that we got's different than the world, folks. And what they've done is they've taught faith and brought it around and molded it around the world's way of thinking to keep the Christians happy, to make them think they're doing something. It's not. You want to step into something bigger. I started off living on that low level. And God blessed me there because of my stupidity, not because of my faith. I was ignorant of things. And He's blessing me just because I was trying to head the right direction and learn this stuff. But I'll tell you, there came the day, and I've had God speak to me about things already. Well, that ain't going to happen for you because you're not acting like it's true. And I'd say, yeah, Lord, you're right. I've had the Lord tell me, you know better than what you're doing. So you're acting like you did 20 years ago, believe. That ain't going to happen for you. And I'd have to come back in line. Hallelujah. And so we're saying these things. Wow, there's a law of the Spirit of life. God wants to prosper you. He's in the prospering business. He don't have some other business. The devil has the law of sin and death. If that's what's working, then it's because that's where your pay is coming from. You want to move over. You want to change that. You want to get onto the law of the Spirit of life. You get on the law of the Spirit of life, and I'll tell you, the first thing you're going to run into is peace and life. Man, you're going to run into that. Instead of that laboring trying to get things from God. If you're laboring trying to get things from God, you're struggling. I'm just praying and believing. Well, there's a good chance you ain't even near faith. Well, we just got to get a hold of another prayer meeting so I can get a hold of. I just pray some more and I just pray. No, it's about time to start to begin to act on the Word of God. Begin to act on it. Hallelujah. I go with Brother Hagin said, go back to where you missed it. Go back to where you looked at, you missed it. Start at what you haven't done and start there. I've had to do that. I've had to back up. Pick up. Hallelujah. There's one thing about it. You know, it's just like you're going out to dig a well and you pass the garage and you didn't pick up the pick and shovel. You're going to have to go back and get it. You're not going to stand out there and confess a hole in the ground. This is what Christians do all the time. They're out there confessing holes in the ground. They're confessing stuff. But they've walked past the pick and shovel. They walk past the things that they need. And they refuse to go back to get it. I'm not going to deal with it. I don't need that over here to do this. And they don't know the whole time that's exactly what they need. They need to get this straightened out. They need to get some things fixed. There's things that need to be done so they can come to the place of faith where they have the faith to stand to dig the hole. Where they have the faith to take a hold of it. You know, if you only got, you can only lift 10 pounds with your faith, don't go out and try to believe for a 100 pound weight to pick up. It ain't going to work. You're going to have to get, if God told you to go over on the bench press and press some more, you better get over there and do it. You can run out there and ask, try to lift the 100 pound, and then God will have you back there with a bad back. And you'll try trying to believe Him to get rid of that. Woo! Good preacher! Folks, it's the way it is! Humble yourself to God's Word. Humble yourself. Find out where you can start. You've heard me say this a lot. Where can I start? And I believe, act to where I can. Bring to pass what I can. It'll lead you to something greater. It'll lead you to something better. God is never working against you. See, and this is the whole thing. When things ain't working, well, God must have a reason in this. You just jumped into the law of sin and death. You have just, the thief just got you to say a stupid thing and a dumb thing to keep you where you're at. You fell under that law. Well, God has me going through this. No, I'm going to tell you what I went through life, I put me through. Believe me, I put me through. And since I've been a Christian, I put me through some things I would have never been put through. But I did it. And I ain't throwing rocks at it. God didn't have no intent. It was what I did. Hallelujah. I reaped the reward of what I did. Well, you might as well smile and say, praise God, it's true. Or you could just whine and go back and, you know, go listen to the preacher tells you God has a great purpose in this. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's turning things around.